What Brings You In Today is produced by medical students at the University of Wisconsin. As medical students, we are not fully trained physicians or licensed to practice medicine. The information presented here is for entertainment purposes only and is not a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or education. To preserve privacy and maintain patient confidentiality, identifying details about patients were changed for this podcast. All opinions expressed belong to the speaker, not their institution or employer.
Hola, I'm Mayra Betancourt Ponce.
And I'm Lee Berman, and this is What Brings You In Today, sharing stories and experiences from within the medical field.
So tell me, what brings you in today?
Creativity in and outside of medicine means something different to everyone, and our individual creativity is by definition unique and personal. We wanted to hear how healthcare students stay creative in this field, so we asked our classmates and friends to submit recordings telling or showing us why creativity is important to them. This episode features Andrea Rossman, Jake Cousine, Claire Beamish, Megan Kenfield, Jonathan Alisea, Rashia Miner, Quinn Nguyen, Christy Chang, Rufus Sweeney, and Nathan Charlie on creativity in healthcare. Hope you guys enjoy.
Hello, my name is Jonathan Alisea. I'm a third-year medical student from the University of Puerto Rico. Creativity is an essential quality for all aspiring physicians, especially in our present state where medical education is mostly standardized. Our capacity to innovate is crucial to continue evolving medical care to benefit a greater number of patients, particularly marginalized populations. This has never been more evident than in our current situation, where technology has bridged the gap in the provision of medical services. Creativity enables us to use our knowledge in new and innovative ways to better serve society and improve our quality of life. The medical landscape is evolving at an astounding rate, and it is fueled by this creativity, enabling the integration of diverse subjects, broadening our reach.
All right, can you introduce yourself?
I'm Jake Cousine. I'm a medical student at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I'm pursuing an MD-PhD.
I'm Megan Kenfield. I'm a third-year med student at UW-SMPH.
My name is Claire Beamish. I'm a third-year medical student here at UW-Madison.
So, first thing that I want to know is, what does creativity mean to you?
Medicine's about problem solving, and creativity opens new doors of doing that. It allows you to think outside the box, it allows you to approach it from different perspectives, and it just keeps your mind a little bit more flexible, which is the key.
I think for me, creativity often takes the form of one of two forms. I like writing a lot. And so writing either prose pieces or just jotting down thoughts or elements of my day. And then also knitting. My mom's a pretty big knitter. So those are, for me, kind of two creative outlets. But I guess just like thinking outside the box. I know that's pretty cliche, but, you know, doing things that are artistic in whatever form that means for you.
Sure. Well, when I first like heard the prompt, the first thing that came to mind is how not creative I am compared with how I used to be. Oh. Like, I was thinking that with the first phase of our curriculum here at UW, it's all preclinical, all textbook. And really, you're just, it's all kind of the opposite of creativity, where you are just kind of becoming a human textbook and trying to learn as much as possible in as short amount of time as possible. And really, like, thinking outside of the box is kind of discouraged, you know, like when you're learning the basics of medicine, you kind of have to stay inside the box. Mm-hmm. And so creativity is like kind of absent almost, but kind of intentionally so.
I feel that medical training is often too rigid. I feel like that's probably the biggest problem I have with the way we're trained. They don't leave much room for creativity because it's so directed, so scheduled, so prescribed.
You know, you think a lot in medicine, but I think it's a lot of pattern recognition.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's very focused on, it's very answer driven and getting the correct answer. and sometimes that kind of overwhelms the actual thinking process, I found. So
yeah, like you're just trying to get to the answer.
You just want to get the answer, right? So you just, yeah. If I don't know something right away, I do a Google search or I do a PubMed search,
sure.
Or
yeah.
I'm just focused on getting the answer. Whereas I think when you do these creative projects, I think you focus on the process and thinking through problems, and getting the right answer isn't necessarily the goal, but kind of thinking through different mm-hmm. approaches is. And I think that's really an important part of medicine, but I think it's one that is less valued, especially during the early years, during your didactic period, and also yeah. when studying for all these tests, you just want to get the right answer.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I think when you can kind of stay creative during your med school journey, you are consistently challenging yourself to think creatively and problem solve and try new methods, even if that method doesn't work. So I think those are important skill sets that I think we really curate and develop in high school and then in college, but then I think lose part of it mm-hmm. in med school. So I think continuing to practice those skills is important and will be important as we continue our training.
You know, you feel this joy of like you made it to the place you wanted to, but at the same time, I kind of recognized I'd lost a lot along the way, like that creative side or that side that is like more free thinking and, you know, and it makes sense. Like you can see why that happens to many medical students and other and people in other careers too. It's not exclusive to medicine, you know? So I think that, again, I made it to the phase one and I was like, okay, well now what, you know, I've made it this far, but who am I outside of medicine and who am I, you know, what makes me versus, you know, all these other medical students in my class that are learning the exact same thing. And it's great. Like I said, you need to learn all, I understand why you need to learn the basics before you can, you know, take the next step and get creative. But if you don't use it, you're kind of losing it where you just start to feel a little bit like a robot and a lot less like yourself.
And have you like thought about it all, like how creativity like could be more a part of med school like it is for high school and college?
Well, I recently took a medical humanities course and they did a really good job of incorporating different types of media into the course and challenging students, even students who weren't particularly artistically inclined to actually practice some of those skills. So the course had a lot of different types of students who were going into surgery and non-surgery, students were undecided, but all were expected to give a good faith effort to whether it be to try watercolor or prose or poetry. And I think all of us were pretty impressed by the talent level of students. And it's almost a shame that there aren't more outlets for these students to kind of practice their creativity, because I think there's so much untapped talent amongst my group of peers.
I mean, I don't know. I think about like for a given patient, yes, there is a best practice model for how to approach the treatment. But I think there is a lot of room for creativity even in that. You know, to a large extent, we have to design our treatments to be somewhat personalized to the patient. And, you know, once you get to know a patient, you can find out how creativity has a role in that given situation. But I mean, it's hard to put it into like a blueprint. I mean, I think it has to vary from one situation to the next and from one patient to the next.
Yeah, I think that's the key in how we're taught. Like we're taught to recognize certain patterns. In some ways, it's helpful, but in others, it can be damaging, right? Like we're doing U World questions and it's like you recognize a certain person of a certain age and you kind of jump to a mm-hmm. diagnosis, and that can be...
I mean, I think that brought me to...
Not good.
Yeah, I was listening to a podcast earlier about biases in medicine, and they have things like, you know, availability biases, like you've seen this presented in this way before, therefore it's most likely this, or a patient has presented over and over again for some pain crises, and therefore the next time they present in pain, it's most likely that, but that's just not the reality. Every presentation must be approached uniquely. Mm-hmm. And if you're not creative, if you're thinking too rigid, you're just going to jump to the same conclusion everyone else has or that has been jumped to before, and you're missing out on so much.
Yeah. So in many ways, creativity is more of a practice and, you know, a way of thinking more than, you know, a rigid thing.
I think so. It's literally looking at the box and saying, what if that's not a box?
Well, I think that, you know, like I said, when I made it to that phase one, kind of around the second semester of med school, where I'm like, what am I doing outside of this, you know? And I took this class it was offered. It's called like resiliency skills for medical students, mm-hmm. which I think is good. And, you know, it kind of talked about ways to see your life that are not just in medicine. And one of the things they talked about was like thinking of your life as like a dinner plate. And if your dinner plate only has studying or like school, you know, and has nothing else, you're not going to feel like fulfilled in your life or full, right? And so they talked about trying to incorporate other things like exercise, social activity, sleeping. But then the one category that really struck me was like play. And it kind of made me laugh because I was like, play? Like I'm 22 or 23. Like I'm not, you know, what am I going to play? But they kind of described it as like just finding the ways to be creative in the routines that you have every day. So for example, like cooking, you know, just kind of finding the joy and playfulness in cooking and like trying a new recipe or trying something outside of your comfort zone, you know? And then also just kind of like, then I, you know, decorating my apartment, like ways that I can, you know, be creative and also, you know, thrifty because I'm on a budget, you know, and just kind of making the space that I live in my own. And I know that those aren't really groundbreaking or like that special, but kind of flipping it and making it into an opportunity instead of something like, you know, you need to cook dinner, you need to buy furniture, but how can you make it playful and fun? And I think that reframing of, you know, what's on my plate and like what part of my life is playful, just kind of reframing it and looking at it that way has made the like very boring things seem kind of fun or like opportunities to be a little creative every day. And I think that's something too, as med students, and like this, again, not exclusive to being a medical student, but you tend to be kind of like a perfectionist, you know, you try and memorize as much as you can or get, you know, try and be the best at, you know, the medical student who can suture the best, or like you really try and like feel a sense of mastery. And I think that that's something that I was trying to do, is like teach myself new things outside of medicine and feel comfortable like not being good at it right away. Mm-hmm. And I think that's also like, I don't know if that really relates to creativity, but I think it relates to the sense of trying new things and being okay with failing. And with creativity, for example, like there's not really like rules, right? Like you're drawing or, you know, painting or coloring, you don't need to be perfect. You know, it's, I think that like removing this idea that everything needs to like have an end goal or have, you know, a sense of perfection is very liberating. And it kind of helps balance out that kind of perfectionist attitude that you often find yourself taking in medicine. And I think that something, so last week or the last 2 weeks, I've been on my anesthesiology rotation, and something that I heard the attendings and the residents and anesthetists mentioning is that it kind of becomes an art. And I think that, you know, when you're, again, starting medical school, like you can't even see like the art aspect of it sometimes, because you don't, like you haven't learned to paint yet, right? Like you are just seeing.
You don't know the colors.
You don't know how to paint. You don't know, like,
you don't know the brushes.
You don't even know like what is paint? Like almost, yeah. Like it's kind of cool to think about it that way, because like when I started medical school, I could have walked in and looked at, you know, the monitors in an operating room and like have no idea what they meant and really just like not understand it. But that makes sense, right? Like I didn't know the colors. I didn't know how to paint. I didn't know all these things about the art of it. So how would it make sense to me? But that, you know, they all, so kind of flashing forward, you know, these attendings, they, it's interesting to hear them say like, there's no one right way to do something. And you really have to tailor it to each patient and each like, in each situation, or like thinking about the type of surgery. Like there's a lot more that goes into it than I realized at first. And I think it's cool that not two anesthesiologists practice the same way. And I know this goes for other areas of medicine too, right? Like there's not one right answer, which is kind of how we're trained to thought, you know, with exams on exams on exams. Mm-hmm. Like there's only one right answer. There's only one right answer. And even if there's like two answers that look
pick
right,
the well, best one.
Pick the one that is more right. And so I feel like when you go out into the real world, it's very different. Like there are more than one right answer. And sometimes there are no right answers. So you're left picking from a bunch of like mm-hmm. half answers or like the best solution possible. So it's like, it's cool to see that art side of it. And now that I feel like I've like put some of the building blocks together, I can understand how that will look in the future. Granted, I'm not there yet, but I thought it was really, really great. And so now I kind of get it. I'm becoming, you know, I can appreciate the art now and like kind of see where being creative really helps you take good care of your patients.
Hi, my name is Andrea Rossman, and I'm a second-year medical student at the Medical College of Wisconsin. So for me, my creative outlet recently has been programming my favorite kind of native languages, MATLAB, which is a more visual way to program, which I like, and that's what I've trained. And I think what I like, you know, the creative part of it, that, you know, I spend all day looking at medicine as, you know, multiple choice answers. You get the question, there's one correct answer, and that's how it is. And from studying and regurgitating, you know, I feel like I really don't use a lot of my brain. You know, it's just the same thing. You look at the information, you synthesize it, you write it down, you try to remember it. And the problem-solving process and kind of, you know, looking for different ways to get to a solution or close to a solution is something that I was really missing. And I've been very fortunate to be able to work on some research projects that involve using my programming skills. And I really, really do enjoy programming. I always, you know, do the same way. I get up first thing in the morning. I go to the library. And, you know, you have kind of a blueprint of how you want your code to go, how you think you're going to get to the solution. And it's really iterative work. And so you do a part of it and you read the error message. And the error message, you know, really points you in direction. And you think, oh, I didn't think about that. You know, how do we rework it? How do we go and find another creative solution? And I think that process is, you know, the creative process. That's the closest I've come to, you know, the creative process. And I've grown to really appreciate it. And it used to, you know, I used to get really sad and cry when I had, you know, deadlines that I couldn't make and code wasn't working. But I think the knowledge that it's never going to be perfect, that there is, from every code I've ever written, that I fleshed out, every code that I've read, it can always be better. You always could have done it a different way that maybe would be faster or would have a better user interface or, you know, was cleaner. And I think also it comes in just the realization that it's never going to be perfect. And if it accomplishes the job, then it's a job well done. And I get like really deep, really focused. And then when I'm done, I kind of, you know, like look up and take a breath and, you know, I'm hungry and I, you know, haven't left this chair in hours. And I think it's that like kind of intense focus where now, you know, I'm not distracted by anything. I'm not using this like really peripheral part of my brain. That's what I really like about it. And I think it's been really more important in my medical education than I would have thought, is being able to have this outlet for my creative brain, you know, this iterative problem-solving part of my brain.
Can you introduce yourself?
My name is Rashia Miner. I am a third-year veterinary student here at UW.
Nice. So tell me, Rashia, what does creativity mean to you?
As someone in the STEM field where there tends to be a separation between what most people feel is creativity, I think that I have like a, I wouldn't say unique perspective, but I have a big art background. I was pursuing an art minor in undergrad and I draw and paint regularly. So what most people quote unquote feel is creative has been a huge part of my life for such a long time. And so creativity to me is something that I try to incorporate into my veterinary education whenever possible. I try to not get pigeonholed with my thoughts and beliefs and try to think outside of the box as much as I possibly can to come up with solutions to whatever problems may present to me.
And how do you think that your background in art has influenced your training?
When I was in undergrad, I was doing a research project with some PhDers and MDs in Wimmer, and they have one of the researchers, he is now a plastic surgeon and he is a medical illustrator as well. Mm-hmm. And so that was something that I got introduced to, I guess, early on in my career. And as a result, for me, I guess creativity in my field has been drawing to learn veterinary anatomy or drawing to just like understand things better. Mm-hmm. And I have also started doing like medical illustrations myself for the same lab that this doctor was in, and also for some of the veterinarians that I work with. Like they asked me to illustrate the ophthalmology manual at school.
That is so cool.
Yeah. And for me, being such like a visual learner, it helps me understand things better and see things better to draw it out or illustrate it. So I think that's something that's unique. And when they're explaining these like complex surgeries that one is doing, just a helpful little diagram goes a long way to make things a lot more simplistic, but still get the message across that they are trying to achieve.
Mm-hmm. Where can we see this drawing?
I do have an Instagram account. It's Shy Animal Art. I'm from Chicago, so it's CHI.animalart. If you want to see some of my work, not all of it's posted there, and with some of the research stuff, because of, I guess, like research rights and domain stuff, like I can't publish it on the Instagram page, but some of my illustrations that I've done to help myself study, like I did a whole animal skull series of different species, like skull anatomy. That's on my Instagram.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
Hey everyone, so my name is Nathan Charlie. I'm an M3 at UW-SNPH, and I'm here to talk about one of the ways I stay creative during my training. So for anyone that knows me, they know that I'm, some might say, addicted to photography. This kind of started in eighth grade when I had an uncle living with me who had a camera and was also interested in photography. My love for photography grew from that. Started off like me taking pictures of my mom's flower garden at home, or like our new family puppy at that time. Once I was in college, my focus kind of turned to doing mainly sports photography, involved with the UW basketball or UW football team. And I would occasionally sprinkle in some portrait work, either from like an engagement shoot or senior photos, that sort of thing. But last year was kind of the first time I thought of using my photography in a different way, in a way to tell a story, but not just any story, but more specifically a story that others may have not heard or that others can learn from. And my goal, my general goal, was to amplify some of the voices that are usually suppressed in media that we see these days. I was always fascinated by the Humans of New York project and how much of someone's experience can be captured with a photo accompanied by a brief excerpt. So I kind of put two and two together and kind of came up with this project called Stories on State. So a little aside for those who haven't heard about it. So last year, around this time, we witnessed the murder of George Floyd in Minneapolis. And there was a really big visceral response in Madison, kind of centered around the State Street area, that led to some of the State Street businesses' properties being damaged. This eventually resulted in the entire street being boarded up, just in the interest of safety of those businesses. But what many people didn't realize would happen was the following days after the businesses were boarded up, many local artists based in Madison or in the Madison area came to decorate these boards. And that was really special to see State Street turned into this like wood colored tunnel leading up to the Capitol, to almost like this almost museum like quality exhibits with each their own meaning and power. I was really impressed with the heart of the city and how it responded to such a tragic event like this. So after seeing the works, there was kind of a feeling in me saying there needs to be more conversation around this, because there's so much more to be said and learned from this. So that kind of led me to interview the artists who created these works to understand their motivation, their thoughts, their feelings, like what they want to get across with what they've created. And this ultimately led to the creation of this project, Stories on State. You can check this out on my Instagram or on my website. It's at Nathan Charlie Photo or NathanCharliePhoto.com. Thanks.
Hey, I'm Rufus, and I write medical satire.
I think in the training process, we become kind of cynical and jaded, and it's my way of staving off that feeling. So here's my, one of the things I wrote. The NRMP is close to understanding the NRMP's match algorithm. The NRMP, the organization that controls the arcane match process, thinks they may have made a huge breakthrough in cracking their own match algorithm. This is huge. Like, think of Alan Turing cracking the Enigma code and multiply that by 2, said Dr. James Feinstein, Harvard-trained head statistician at NRMP, tears filling his eyes as he spoke. No one has been able to figure out how the algorithm works, and I'm so proud of my team. NRMP expects to be able to fully articulate their algorithm by 2028, which coincides with the year that NBME said it would know how step one is scored. I am so excited to know more about how the algorithm works so I can post a massive, superfluous spreadsheet on r/medical school, Chris Benson, M1 at UPenn, remarked, beaming. I can't even imagine how much karma I'll get for that.
Quinn Nguyen from the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health created a beautiful art piece and added, "Life is inherent in medicine, and creativity gives us the freedom to impact our patients' lives in our own clinical practice. The purpose of my piece, Heart of Habitats, is to highlight the abundance of life that is ingrained in both art and medicine, the two branches that shape our own understanding of humanity." Go check out Quinn's art piece, Heart of Habitats, in our Instagram account.
Hi, my name is Chrissy Chang, and I'm a third-year medical student. And my way of expressing creativity has always been through music, although that was something that, starting medical school, I kind of suddenly stopped doing for various reasons. But I eventually did find my way back to it, and it's been really good to rediscover this outlet again. So here's a song that I started working on as I was preparing for step one. So here we go.
Broken down and tired, living life on a merry-go-round. You can't find a fighter, but I see it in you, so we gon' walk it out. Move, mountain, we gon' walk it out. Move, mountain. So I'll rise like the day. I'll rise unafraid. I'll rise up, and I'll do it a thousand times again.
Thank you so much to everyone that submitted. We loved listening to your thoughts about creativity in medicine and getting to know some of your creative endeavors. Don't forget to check out our social media accounts and take a look at some of these pieces.
For you.
Thanks for listening. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at WBYIT_UWSMPH. We'll see you for our follow-up in 2 weeks.
Have a nice day.
Funding for What Brings You In Today is provided by the Kern Foundation.